This is session number 71 of the Gospel according to John. We've been going through John chapter number 10, where Jesus Christ tells a parable about the sheep and the shepherd, and then where he begins to unveil the truths that he is the good shepherd of the sheep. And it's been beautiful looking at these truths as Jesus Christ brings them forth. And last time we finished with verse 16, where Jesus Christ reveals, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." The beautiful truth Christ is prophesying of, that ultimately in the new covenant, there will be neither Jew nor Gentile anymore. There be neither male nor female anymore. There be neither rich nor poor, bond nor free anymore, but that in Christ there would be only one fold for all nations, because he is the one great shepherd of the sheep. Today we come to verse number 17. We're going to read verse 17 and 18. These are the final two verses of his message to the Jews here in Jerusalem about the good shepherd and the sheep. Verse 17, he says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Glory to God. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful truth. Father, sanctify us unto thy word. Set us apart to thy glory. Reveal the wonderful words of life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus starts and he says, "Therefore doth my Father love me." Amen. There's a reason to the Father's preeminent love for Jesus, his son. We remember back in chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus revealed the truth, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth." We remember when Jesus was baptized and came up out of the water, heaven opened, clouds parted, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It's beautiful to know the truth that the Father loves Christ, his Son, above all, that he's been anointed with the oil of gladness above all his fellows. If you want to be in on the love of God, if you want to be filled with his love, you have to come to Jesus Christ, his Son, because that's where the love of God is. It's in Christ. But Jesus here reveals the reason for the Father's love for the Son. Why did the Father love the Son so much? This is beautiful. Two reasons. First one, he says, "Because I lay down my life." Now, this truth is inherent to the gospel. But let's understand this. God loves Jesus for his willingness to not live for himself, but rather to lay down, to sacrifice his life. That's his gain. That's his desires. That's the things that he could have. But to lay it down for the desperate need of others. This is the mark of a true shepherd, and ultimately the mark of the good shepherd of the sheep. Now again, in this passage, it's implied that Jesus, as the good shepherd, he's laying down his life for his sheep. Again, back in verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Christ, as the good shepherd of the sheep that will come to him, that will be gathered into life eternal, let us know and lay hold on this truth, that he laid down his life. Amen. He did it. We'll look at it more in the next verse, but he did it willingly. This was something he laid down. And because of this, the Father loved him. Loved the fact that his only begotten Son, his well-beloved Son, was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. What a contrast this is with the hireling shepherds that you can read about in Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 6. The ones who fed themselves and didn't feed the flock. The ones who ate the fat and clothed themselves with the wool, and they killed them that are fed and would not feed the flock. They wouldn't strengthen the diseased. They wouldn't heal that which was sick. They didn't bind up that which was broken. They didn't bring back that which was driven away. They didn't seek out that which was lost, but they ruled them with force and cruelty. And the sheep were scattered because there was no good shepherd. They were all hireling shepherds. And they were scattered to become meat to all the beasts of the field. And he said, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. What a contrast between those hireling shepherds and the good shepherd who says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh, you better believe the Father loved him for that. Jesus said, greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But the Father didn't just love Jesus because he's about to lay down his life for the sheep. But the Father also loved Jesus because he said back in John 10, verse 17, that I might take it again. Hallelujah. God did not want Jesus to lose his life eternally. He only wanted him to lay it down temporarily and take it back forever and ever. This is beautiful. The Father's plan was not for Jesus to be eternally lost so others could be saved, but that by willingly laying down his life, he would be honored to take it back again. Amen. That's why we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He laid it down, but it doesn't end with laying it down. He pressed through to the joy of when he could take it back again. And by the grace of God, it will be the same for us. What a beautiful and wonderful gospel truth. If you try to keep and save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life willingly, you shall keep it unto eternal life. Amen? Hallelujah. The cross is not eternal. It's only temporal to allow others to be saved and partake of this life. This is a key element of the gospel. Eternal life prevails over death. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, Paul says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, hallelujah, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so shall the saying be fulfilled, death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that's cross, that's temporary, that I might take it again. That's eternal life, that's forever. God's supreme love for Jesus is because of his willingness and obedience to lay down his life. Not consider, not save himself. Because of this, God will empower Jesus to be able to take it back again. Oh, how the Father desires to see the same heart and obedience in us towards those that are trapped and scattered. Laying down our temporary good, laying down our temporary comfort, so that others may be released, others may be set free, others can be built up in Christ, and then he'll let us take those things back again by his grace. Just like Abraham and Isaac, laying down his Isaac on the altar, and then within minutes after that moment, taking him right back into his arms. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." 1 John 3, verse 11 says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." What does that love look like? Verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." It meant Christ laid down his life for us. So guess what? And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Truly, the Lord gave us an example so that we could follow in his steps. Just like Epaphroditus did for his beloved brother, the Apostle Paul. And Paul talks about Epaphroditus and says in verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life." Why? "To supply your lack of service toward me." Amen? He ministered to Paul in his need and in his want and in his affliction to the point where he almost died himself, and he didn't even consider his own life. He laid down his life for the brethren. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on Paul, so that they didn't have to sorrow. This is true, mature Christian living, following in the footsteps of Christ, the beloved Son of the Father, who the Father loved more than anyone. Why? Because he laid down his life for the sheep, that he might take it again. And then Jesus goes on from there, and in verse 18, he wants to really drive this thing home. He says, "No man taketh it from me." And this is huge. He wants to make this very clear, and we need to get this. Because many people are preaching the gospel wrongly. Many people are preaching the cross wrongly and not understanding this beautiful and wonderful truth. He says, "No man." Now consider this. That phrase, "no man." He says, "No man." Think about this. No other man sinless. No other man can save. No other man is worthy to be the sacrifice for all of men's sins. No other man is the only begotten Son of God. So therefore, no man can conquer Christ. How could anybody take Christ's life? If they could take it from him, then they were greater than him. Listen, yes, there were many people who willingly played the part of quote-unquote taking Jesus' life, but let us know and understand that at the core, nobody took his life, because he of his own will laid it down and surrendered it willingly. As the scriptures say in Isaiah 53, "Humbly and gently as a lamb was brought before her shearers." Again, think about this. Yes, Judas betrays him into the hands of the chief priests, but Judas didn't dare hurt Jesus. The chief priests falsely accuse him of blasphemy, but they don't dare stone him. They send him to Pilate. Pilate wants nothing to do with this trial, so he sends him to Herod. Herod's just looking for Jesus to entertain him. When Jesus doesn't play in his game, he's got no interest in him, sends him back to Pilate. Pilate is doing everything he can to get out of this thing, and he says, don't you know that I have the power to crucify thee and I have the power to release thee? And Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. And so what does Pilate do? Pilate does everything he can to try to get Jesus out, but eventually he gives in to the Jews. But Pilate doesn't dare touch him, doesn't dare hurt him, releases him to the Jews. But they don't dare stone him. They need the Roman soldiers to crucify him. And even the Roman centurion who was in charge of crucifying Christ after Christ dies cries out saying, truly, this man was the Son of God. Let me tell you, Jesus said, no man taketh it from me. Nobody took his life. He said, but I lay it down of myself. Beautiful. How God gives man freedom of choice. God has will, God has plan, God has desire, but we have the choice to submit, and Jesus Christ is the perfect Son of the Father submitted, and he laid it down of himself. I don't believe God gets any delight seeing his children fight and scream and kick all the way to the altar. Rather not come to the altar in such a condition. Better to wait until the soul and spirit is subdued, convinced, persuaded, and yielded to lay down your life for others. And I believe God is patient to wait until such a time. He went on and said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Amen. I have power. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. Psalm 21:13 says, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Psalm 62:11 says, God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Amen, power. Jesus said, I have power to do two things. Power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Again, to lay it down. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He had power to lay it down. You ever think about the power that Jesus Christ had to humble himself so greatly, take upon him the form of a servant, be made in the likeness of men, to humble himself and become obedient even unto death, not just death, but even the death of the cross? Yeah, it's great power to lay it down. Amen. One of the sources of this power was the Father's love. Consider the scripture in Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. Solomon's bride says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Love is strong as death. Verse 7, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be contemned. Amen? He says, I have power to lay it down. It takes great power to truly and willingly lay down your life for others. Even if it's just temporary, the only power that can drive that is the power of love that's as strong as death, because Christ was willing to die. He was willing to take death on. The power of that love that was willing to lose all the substance of his house temporarily because of the love that he had for his sheep. I have power to lay it down. But not just power to lay it down. there's an even greater power. It's an even greater power than the love of God. An even greater power. But I have power to take it again. Love is as strong as death. But there's a power that's greater than the grave. And it's a resurrection power which comes out of holiness. Holiness is what yields or leads to everlasting life. Consider the scripture in Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end. What does holiness lead to? The end. Everlasting life. In Romans 1, verse 4, Paul says that Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. When was this? By the resurrection from the dead. He was revealed to be the Son of God with power when he was resurrected, when he took his life back. But how did he do that? By what power? It was according to the Spirit of holiness. Holiness is a greater power than even God's love. It's the power that leads to an endless life. Hebrews 7:16 talks about Jesus Christ, how he was made a high priest, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Why did he have such power? Because in verse 26, it says, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Holiness is what leads to everlasting life. He had power, not just to lay it down, not just the power of the love of his Father for the sheep, but he also had the power of holiness, so that he could take it back again. Glory to God. And ultimately, the reason why he was able to do this, why he had the power to do this, because at the end of verse 18, he says, this commandment have I received of my Father. Just like Jesus Christ would say later to Pilate, thou couldst have no power at all, except it were given thee from above. Amen. The source of Christ's power to do such things, to willingly lay down his life and die, and to resurrect to eternal life, the ultimate source, yes, the love of God, yes, holiness, but really the ultimate source was the word and command of the Father. Later in John 12, verse 50, Jesus will say to the Jews, and I know that his commandment, that's the commandment of his Father, is life everlasting. The commandment of the Father is everlasting life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Truly, the Father gave Jesus power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as he gave him. But ultimately, he himself had to be the first fruits to lay down his life and to take it again unto everlasting life. Why? Because the Father's commandment is life everlasting. And it pleased the Father that in him, his well-beloved Son, whom he loved above all, because of his willingness to lay it down, because of his power that he would give him to take it back again, because it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and that he should have the preeminence in all things. This is session number 71 of the Gospel according to John. John chapter number 10, verses 17 and 18. Amen and amen.